Welcome to Analytics Dynasty. This is your week 8 primer. So on the second half of the season here in terms of regular season, just keep grinding away here, got some buys and stuff. So let me do rundown of the injuries across the across the positions here, and then we'll look at some individual matchups and see what we can exploit. So Zach Wilson's going to be out, probably not near your lineup anyways. We'll watch that. DMP for Hill. Taysom Hill. I got a bunch of Hills. Probably not relevant, but that concussion. It's interesting. There's been no IR designation, but he hasn't practiced yet. Again, I'm recording this before his Friday report has come in, so maybe he goes a limited and plays. But you're at the outstretches of a really long concussion recovery protocol clearance at this point. So I think that's an interesting and a notable thing. It does look like Joe Flacco has actually reported to the Jets. So he had not reported to the Jets for multiple days, and now he's finally back there. So take that for what you will. But again, Mike White's going to be the starter with the Jets. I have picked up a fair share of Mike White. I mean, it's probably, if I had to guess, maybe like a quarter of my super flex teams, something like that. It's probably less than that, honestly. I took a shot. What the heck? You take a shot at a one of 32 guys at a premium position, just sort of see what happens. I suspect I'll probably end up cutting him. And who knows? Maybe Flacco starts next week and it's an easy cut. Maybe he's good. Maybe this is a Matt Castle situation, and you're like, I doubt that, but again, it's a shot, and it's probably a better shot than some backup third string tight end or something that I'd be rostering, something like that. I did make the joke in the group me today that your safe leagues formats just aren't big enough because you can't roster enough Mike White, you can't roster enough PJ Walker, you just can't, it's just not enough there. So I did make that joke. I thought it's absurd, obviously. Like, we're rostering some of these guys. If you're playing a 20-man super flex, it's obviously you're not probably rostering him. But again, at the edges of the recess of your teams, I think it does give you a small edge to just keep trying to grind these positions out. So again, it can get hard too if you're doing it really well and you're really optimizing it. Like, there's not a lot of thatch to really rake out of your team, so it can be tough on these situations. We're watching the Watson situation. I suspect he's not going to get traded. There's just too much upside to trade him in this upcoming offseason in terms of like trading for. You're going to have multiple suitors. Heck, even a team like Green Bay could be interested. There's an unlimited amount of potential suitors. It's not an unlimited amount, but it's a 2, 3, 4 times as many teams are in on that as there could be right now, just cap wise and changing situations and retirements and all of that. I mean, just look at the teams that we're going to talk about in this show. I mean, San Francisco, no, but probably Denver, yes. Miami, yes. Pittsburgh, yes. The Saints, yes. Like, just look at the situations. Should the Jets be? The Jets absolutely should be, but probably won't be. But you have all of these potential suitors. Like, I suspect they probably wait, but we'll see. This is basically the reverse dynasties trade, by the way. It's interesting. Roethlisberger should be a full go. So that's, for what that's worth, he's QB2 radar. Looks like Tua is going to start. Got an endorsement from Brian Flores, so that probably means Deshaun Watson's going to be traded in the next couple hours. Jacoby Brissett, full practice, but again, backing up Tua. Full practice for Bridgewater, so that's good. Mayfield's going to start. That's notable. We got limited practices all week for Dak. There's been some pessimism and a bunch of line movement on this game towards Minnesota, an indication that Dak may not play. So I'll be watching that. Again, limited DNP is a rare combination. So we'll watch for that. If they're worried about some inflammation or anything like that, like, I'm surprised that they didn't cut it short midweek. So we're watching I think it's going to be more of a game time decision. Maybe we'll know overnight on Saturday and a Sunday, something like that. We are getting some limited practices for Lance, but it looks like Garoppolo is going to be the starter for the near future. And I haven't seen an update on Kyler Murray. I know that's well past our relevance window because he already played on Thursday night. But that's, I think, a story that we're going to have to watch from that game, and we'll see what happens. Probably watching early next week to get some more reports on that. Okay, some of the guys here that are at the running back position. Barkley hasn't played yet. They do play Monday night, so he's DMP Thursday, Friday. So we'll see what happens Saturday. And I suspect he's probably going to be out, and then maybe get to watch him for potentially the week after, or the next couple of weeks for him to be potential return. It is notable that they have not put him on IR. So they, I think, are expecting him back. Tevin Coleman's out. Again, I think that bumps up Ty Johnson in the radar of injury away guys. So it makes him, I think, at least usable. And again, they play that Monday night. Excuse me, they play that Thursday night game. So if there's a situation where it is a Michael Carter injury or something like that, you do get a short week and a potential Ty Johnson start. So this is a D'Ernest Johnson situation there for Ty Johnson. So I would make sure to pick up some residual shares of him. Chris Evans is out for Cincinnati, and that, you know, Samaje Perine opens him up. There's some rumor that Miles Sanders is going to go on IR. He has not done that yet. The coach had specifically said there was a report that he had, then the coach said no, he hasn't, but there's still the expectation that he will, so we'll watch there. And see what that is. I think the big story you're going to watch for is Austin Eckler practices Wednesday. DNP's Thursday with a hip. So, again, we'll watch. I think you're going to have to watch and see. Again, as I'm recording this, they're practicing like later in the day. And I won't get it until I like to get this out on Friday. And I can't wait to release it for a family obligation that I have. I just can't wait till they post this to actually see it. But I think that's something you're going to absolutely have to watch for. Again, I've added Josh Kelly. I added some Justin Jackson as well. I think Kelly probably over Jackson would be my hunch, but I don't have a great feel on that. And I did note that I was listening to a podcast this week, and they were talking about, you know, how you expect this. Chiefs Patriots game to go, and their expectation was, and it was a former scout front office person was talking about it, and he's basically like, they're just gonna blitz the Chargers, like they're gonna blitz the Chargers and keep Eckler out of the routes, like that's the way to defend Eckler is to force him into protection, which is an interesting, you know, strategic approach there. Maybe it'll force Herbert to go empty, and then they'll have to, you know, we'll see some mix and match there, but I think that's an interesting situation to watch. Outside of that, no real major injuries. There's a limited for Jamal Williams with a thigh on Thursday after he had practiced on Wednesday. So that's one where we're going to say, okay, like what's the situation there? Monitor that. Again, that opens up some ceiling for Swift. Jamal Williams probably on your radar for flex consideration and desperation type situations. He can be there, so depending on your strength of the position, so that's, you know, certainly a consideration for you. Darrell Williams, full participant in practice, should get another start here, so that's a good spot for a potential starter. And then Swift was limited, but should be good to go. He's been limited basically all, I think, maybe the last month. I don't think he's done a full practice, so I'm not concerned about it. Gibby is not even listed with a questionable status or anything like that. He went limited, so it looks like he should be a full go again for this week. All right, turn into the wide receiver position, and it's DMPs for Kenny Galladay. Again, we're on multiple games now of him. Multiple weeks now of him not really practicing, so I'm holding out reservation. I think a good note on Kadarius Toney is DNP on Thursday, limited on Friday, so they're gonna play Monday night. So that's, I think, a positive development, and that puts him on a track to potentially go limited or full participation on Saturday and then play. So that's good to see. DK Metcalf, full participant DNP on Thursday. Again, this Seattle does some of this stuff where they go, where they sort of flippity flop. So that's one thing to note there. Just be careful on that front. I do think I did miss Alex Collins did the same thing. So I missed Alex Collins before when I was talking about Austin Eckler. He went limited and then he went DNP on Thursday. So just pay attention to that. And that might be a situation where if he's going to play, if Alex Collins is going to play and Penny's going to play, I'm cutting a bunch of DJ Dallas shares. But if for some reason Collins is going to miss time or anything like that, I do think you stash DJ Dallas. And you know, continue to maybe think he's an injury away or something if Collins isn't going to play. So Kadarius Toney again, DMP limited on Friday, so we'll see what happens over the weekend. Curtis Samuel's still out with a groin injury. Josh Reynolds popped up with a DMP again, not super relevant. DK Metcalf full participant DNP. So we'll see what happens on Friday, you know, over the weekend for him. Julio's going to be out with a hamstring, and Antonio Brown's going to be out with an ankle. De'Ami Brown is out with a knee injury. Emmanuel Sanders went DNP on Thursday, non-injury related, so fine there. No problems with Chase Claypool. I know he was on earlier in the season. Full participant Thursday, Friday, not listed. Same with Allen Robinson. Good all aboard there. A.J. Brown missed with an undisclosed injury. He missed with a non-injury limited participant on Wednesday. So just it doesn't look like anything, no problem there. He played Thursday, and, you know, we'll see what happens over the weekend. But he should be good to go. Corey Davis doubtful with a hip injury. He went limited DNP, so that's not great. So we're gonna have, I got some Julio and Davis spots that I'm gonna have to probably scrounge the waiver wire for, and potentially see what is available there. T.Y. Hilton DNP limited full, so hopefully he gets in over. And plays here this weekend. Limited for Odell Beckham Jr. with a shoulder injury. So, again, hopefully he's on the mend. Limited participations the last 2 days for Jarvis Landry. He should be good to go. Sterling Shepard, limited start the week with hamstring injury. So we'll see what he does on Saturday. Again, he's playing on the weekend. Debo went DNP limited. He's got a calf issue. Again, those things can be tricky, so just be on the watch for there. Devontae Parker, limited. There's some thought that he might get traded in the next few days, so just be on the watch for that, and we'll see if there's any. I'll have a breaking news desk for any big trades. I doubt that will happen, but just in case they do. All right, DNPs for Dawson Knox. We'll see if he is a potential IR candidate. There's some thought that maybe he's like a 2 to 3 week guy coming back, and they were on a bye, so I don't know. He broke his hand. They know more than I do. I was surprised by the time frame that they said, so we'll see there. Full participation from Ricky Seals-Jones, Kelsey, Gronkowski on Thursday. So those should be good to go. Getting Gronkowski back in lineups will be nice. Eric Ebron's out. This is a potential Pat Freiermuth game. So from potential shares we have there. I mean, I know some people that I have been following and stuff that have really suggested Freiermuth. I haven't specifically looked at his, you know, how he's going to fit into my lineups or anything yet, because Ebron has just been ruled out as of this recording. So I'm not sure, you know, I'm sure he's probably going to fit in like the tight end two type range would sort of be my presumption there on roster decisions and flex viable and a PPR, you know, enhancement, a PPR bonus, tight end premium type situation for sure. He will be on that radar. Limited participations for Evan Ingram, Jonnu Smith, O.J. Howard. So all of those guys probably on the track to play. Limited for T.J. Hockenson, but not listed as injured. So we're thinking that's going to be okay there. Some veteran maintenance. And I think it'd be interesting to watch for what Green Bay, you know, looks like they're going to lose Tanyan for the year. Be interesting to see what they do in terms of, you know, who they turn to. So I'll be interested for like snap reactions this week, watching that situation pretty closely. Now let's look at some of the line matchups for the week here. So a couple of bigger point totals here in terms of your home favorites. So you got Buffalo as a 2-touchdown home favorite against Miami. They're 31.25 implied team total. So healthy there. You figure that's probably a Singletary Moss situation. I'd probably lean Moss over Singletary if I had the choice between the two. But that's probably in the running back two flex consideration type role there, given they're playing Miami and it's a big favorite there. With a decent total and obviously the highest team total of the week too. So you more put that on them than anything. The other one that's a big home favorite is Kansas City, 31 implied team total. That is the second highest on the week, 10-point home favorite, the second biggest home favorite of the week at present. So that's a Darrell Williams full go game. That would sort of be my inclination there. And I think that's pretty fair, pretty reasonable there. The Giants have given up, you know, some of the they're like 7th or 8th in terms of points against by opposing running backs, so you feel that one's pretty good as well. So a couple of big road favorites. You got the Rams, 15.5-point road favorite against Houston. They're at 31, so the second, you know, tied for second highest team total of the week. Cincinnati as well at the Jets. So Cincinnati, the team with the fourth highest team total at 27.75. So you're just looking just short of 4 touchdowns. There's three teams with projected 4 scores or more, and then Cincinnati. So I think that one, you look at the Jets have just gotten absolutely demolished by opposing running backs. And so I think a little of that has to do with the fact that Cordarrelle Patterson got them a little bit. So that's like in week 5, they played Cordarrelle Patterson. Patterson went for like 18.4 points. How like fair is that necessarily? But they've been gashed by McCaffrey. They've been gashed by Derrick Henry. Like they've been gashed by Damian Harris. You know, they gave up 3 double digit points to running backs last week in terms of Harris, Bolden, and Taylor. They've given up double digit points to running backs, again, if you include Cordarrelle Patterson in this, in the last 5 weeks, in the last 5 games, to 2 different running backs. So at least 2. So Damian Harris, Bolden, and JJ Taylor in week 7. Week 5, Patterson and Mike Davis. Week 4, they gave up 25.7 to Derrick Henry, 16.5 to Jeremy McNichols. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon both go for 15 in week 3. 18.5 for James White and 13.4 for Damian Harris in week 2. And then they got just trounced by McCaffrey without any scores. Again, without any scores, he goes for 27.7 points without a touchdown. So they have been a doormat for opposing running backs. I think this is a doormat for opposing running backs in the sense of Samaje Perine might be flex viable, right? I think Joe Mixon should be up there as one of the best plays of the week in terms of running backs. I think Samaje Perine can be on your flex viability. All right, so Buffalo home against the Dolphins, 31.25 implied team total there. So it's only 17 for Miami. Again, I think you start your Bills. I'm starting Sanders over Beasley, but I mean it probably is a game where you could start them on. With the fact that Dawson Knox is not there too, it consolidates a little bit in the passing game. You figure it's a little bit more centralized around Diggs, Sanders, Cole Beasley in the passing game with Dawson Knox not there. You know, maybe Tommy Sweeney or Gabe Davis is a little bit more involved, but I think that might tighten up a little bit around that core 3 guys. Again, I think Devontae Parker's potential trade guy. You know, we'll see with Tua what the situation is with Watson here over the next week or so. Carolina is going to Atlanta, and I was surprised by this, that Atlanta is actually a 3-point home favorite. They do that Guess the Lines on the Bill Simmons podcast, and it's before I even have looked at the, you know, I haven't even recovered from like a Sunday night by the time I listened to that. And I was like, oh, wow, like Atlanta's a big home favorite, like a 3-point home favorite. That's interesting. And it's just Carolina fading pretty fast. I don't know. With that one, I'd be interested to see the alignment of Cordarrelle Patterson and Mike Davis. I think you probably maybe play Mike Davis a little bit more comfortably than you might otherwise do, given a big, quote, downtick in running back scoring. They've been pretty good against running backs, but again, it's been they've basically held them to no touchdown, so that's part of the benefit of them. That is Carolina's defense. But Mike Davis did play like his regular requisite amount of snaps. He just didn't see the same level of touches. So I don't think he's been benched or anything like that. I just think it was maybe a fluky game in terms of how that, you know, if you have five or six like audibles, right? You just think about what kind of happened in the Atlanta game or the Dallas game in week one. If you have like, you know, four or five audibles, something like that, all of a sudden those numbers can get really skewed. So I wouldn't be super concerned about that. Davis was on the field. I think he's maybe like a running back three type consideration for your flex, like in that sort of sphere of the position. It's probably ultimately low upside, but they're 3+ touchdown home favorites. So I think that's not nothing there. Philly, you are, again, I mentioned Miles Sanders is going on IR. I have picked up some shares of Boston Scott. I haven't gone as far as Jordan Howard just because like if we get to that point, like it's already a destitute situation. If we get to that point, it just feels like, you know, some sort of masochistic exercise at that point. So I'm probably going to stay away from there until there's another injury or something like that in front of him. And then, you know, if he's an injury away guy, you know, we'll put in a low bid, but and anything like 28, 30 man, something like that, I just have a hard time rostering him. Next up. And by the way, just to monitor that Jamal Williams situation too there, with his injury stuff, just monitor that one. And then, I think you can probably start like the quarterbacks, you know, feel fine. Probably starting Goff in like the quarterback two type range, I think, with this one. Tennessee and Indy. Indy's a small home favorite. It's actually gone up a little bit, so that's interesting. They're one of the higher totals of the week, which is also fascinating considering that Carson Wentz is favorite there. I think I'm in a pool where it's a pick 'em pool. I think 60-70% of the teams are going to be on Tennessee. I'm taking Indy just because I'm getting an advantage, but I need to be contrarian at this point because I'm down. I think that line's interesting and counterintuitive for sure. So like I like JT this week. Definitely. You know, we're watching T.Y. Hilton. Hopefully he gets back and is healthy. I think his practice status, you know, his status over the weekend in the Schefter Ian Rappaport tweets, I think it'll be stuff to watch for. No Tyrod for Houston is notable. He was in inactive. You know, he's been on IR. And again, he didn't pop up. You don't pop up on the practice report when you're on the injured reserve and designated to return yet. You don't have to declare. But he has been playing and practicing. But David Cauley, their head coach, said Friday earlier in the day that he just wasn't going to go. So another Davis Mills start. And I think you're still stashing Tyrod. Similarly with Ryan Fitzpatrick with Washington. I mean, Fitzpatrick's still on crutches. So if you're sort of in a bad spot with quarterback, like just know that like you're probably going to need to address it. And Fitzpatrick's not going to be an answer for you at any point in the nearish future with that injury. So that's definitely a scary situation that he's going through. But it looks like Tyrod maybe next week should be back. Again, I think it's start your Rams, roll everybody really. Sony Michel's more of like a, I think you have to be a big time favorite and you have to be like, you know, up two scores third quarter to really be in Sony Michel territory. This is really consolidated around Darrell Henderson, but I think this could be a situation where if you want to go, you need some running back help, like consolidated into a Darrell Henderson share, I think makes a lot of sense right now. And if, again, this might be a time and place where you could say, like, with Darrell Henderson, you could say if there's a guy you're stashing, you know, if it's a, you know, an ETN to Darrell Henderson situation is interesting, or a Cam Akers to Darrell Henderson situation is interesting. I don't know if that happens in a trade, but thinking about those things in terms of cashing in future chips, if you're contending right now, I think Darrell Henderson's an interesting one that might have future viability as well. mentioned Cincinnati at the Jets. Again, Ty Johnson must pick up, because I think if there's that Michael Carter, right, this is the Dearness Johnson situation from a couple weeks ago. Again, the situation isn't going to be that great with them playing on Thursday night. Like, it's not the best. Like, it's not the greatest rebound situation, considering they're playing at Indy. They're probably going to be a 2-touchdown road underdog. So, yeah. But so it's not great, but I think he is a name where you could potentially get a spot start in a week where there's some buys. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, you know, Cleveland's a 3.5-point home favorite. We're watching Beckham there. Hopefully he gets back. He's toughed it out. I mean, I think he's gotten short shrift in terms of his some of the injury stuff, and he's probably tougher than given any credit for sure. He was really good in, you know, coming back into that game last week and playing. Like, I was really impressed by that effort. So hopefully he can get right here. Baker's supposed to play, so you can probably cut your Keenum shares, would be my thought in the near term if you need like a spot start running back. For example, like, I'm not sure I'm going to hold him. He's going to be a tough one if we're going to hold in like safe leagues. For example, that'd be 28 man, you know, super flex tight end premium. And again, with that tight end premium and that format, like, they're more tight ends are viable, right? So I might roster two tight ends more than I otherwise would at that depth. So that becomes a real like crunch spot with some of those last, you know, if that's a quarterback or a backup tight end, you know, that's kind of where that decision process lies. And so I think with that, you have to be really conscious about what you're giving up. I do think with Keenum, it's probably not the highest upside situation because of I just, you know, they've got some weapons problems and all that stuff. It's just they're not. I don't think they're going to make a huge difference. He's good in the system, and he's good in terms of like he's a viable quarterback and streamer and super flex. I think he's going to change the world for you, and maybe they're pretty confident that Baker's going to be able to sort of withstand this. I think, you know, if I'm going to, for example, if I was going to have to decide between Keenum and like PJ Walker, I think it really depends on what you're aiming for. Like, if you're aiming for like a quick flip, like uptick guy, it's probably more PJ Walker. If you're aiming for someone that's going to be viable in terms of like roster in the event of an injury, it's probably going to be Case Keenum. Be interested in the San Francisco-Chicago Bears game here. I mean, we'll be really interested to see what Fields has to offer. If he can potentially get right and take a step forward, we'll be watching that. It's going to be a Garoppolo from here on out. You know, we're watching, I think, Elijah Mitchell. We're on the Mostert track of return. We're watching that for sure. Any Jeff Wilson sightings, anything like that, we're watching that backfield and see how that could change for sure. But I'm pretty confident rolling out Mitchell again, Debo. You know, what if they get their head out of their rear ends on Ayuk? All that stuff will be interesting. And then you got Kittle on IR. So, you know, when he comes back, it's going to be watched. It doesn't look like it's going to be this week. You know, hopefully in the next couple of weeks here, we get a return from him. And I don't feel confident starting anyone really outside of Khalil Herbert there with the Bears. Yeah, maybe Cole Kmet. And you do have Jimmy Graham. It looks like he's going to miss with some COVID stuff. So we'll watch there for that. You might get Cole Kmet playing a heavier role, but I don't know how much I really trust that at this point. Jacksonville at Seattle. And this is one where it's a – I think – you're getting I think this is an interesting spot for Jacksonville to get a road win. If they're going to get one, like, this could be the one to get. Seattle really struggled. It'd be interesting. I think this is an interesting watch. I'm not really sure. I mean, James Robinson, I'm going to play. Marvin Jones, I'm probably playing. I don't really know how great I feel about anyone else in Jacksonville. I think you got to play Lockett and Metcalf, even though like it's not really going to feel good. Then you're going to watch there what the deal with Collins is. You know, if no Collins, maybe it's you feel better about Penny. You know, if Collins plays, like he's more of a lower end flex guy, I think, than anything. The Patriots and the Chargers. So this is a big one in terms of, I think this is a Damian Harris game. for sure, because like this is, I think you feel pretty good starting Damian Harris in a maybe like a running back one type situation. Like running back, he's much more running back 1-2 fringe than he is 2-3 fringe this week. They give up a ton of yards on the ground. He's performed really well in recent weeks. This sets up as a really good situation for Damian Harris to potentially get some run in this game, and I think it'll be interesting to see what they do against Herbert. Herbert played a really bad game against them last year, so be interested to watch how that goes. Again, I think you probably roll out everyone for the Chargers. They're at home. They're a home favorite. I think you can play Cook. You can play you're watching a running back situation there. You know, if Eckler doesn't play, I think you're watching I don't know how confident I feel picking the other guy, so it might be we'll sit and watch it for a week in the event he doesn't play. Like, you're probably not going to be crushed enough this week to need to play that spot, would sort of be my thought. But I guess if I had to, like, gun to my head, I'd probably pick Joshua Kelly, but I don't feel good about that at all. And if you asked me tomorrow, I'd probably might change my mind. It's either him or Justin Jackson, but I don't feel good about it. And that probably tells you all you need to know. But I do think Cook, you start the receivers. You know, I think you're fine with all that. And the Patriots, again, if you maybe spot starting, we're going to watch here for, we're watching for Jonnu Smith's availability, and maybe that actually opens up some opportunity for Hunter Henry to get even more work. So we'll see what type of availability there is. And if there's a situation, it doesn't look like Jonnu Smith's probably going to miss this game. I think there's, you're obviously dealing with the New England Patriots and their lack of, how should we say this pleasantly, transparency at the injury reporting station. But he's been a limited participant, so I think he probably plays. It's what it looks like. And if he's going to play, you're probably in a situation still where I like Hunter Henry more than Jonnu Smith at this point, but it's not probably a huge Hunter Henry breakout game. That would sort of be my inclination. They've done a really good job of sort of limiting the deep passes, so be interested to watch that matchup. I think that's one where this could be a nifty Belichick game for sure. Washington and Denver, there's been some unease about Bridgewater, in terms of maybe Locke. So if Locke is one, we maybe float through stash him as a potential, hey, maybe he gets an opportunity if this game goes bad, something like that. I do think this is a game where you can feel decent about Bridgewater, though, because Washington has been gashed by quarterbacks. They've given up the most points to quarterbacks this season on a per-game basis. So you can feel decent about Bridgewater, and maybe you even take a shot on, I think you probably feel pretty good about, Fant, and you can maybe then take a shot too on a receiver there. If you need someone like Tim Patrick or something like that, like you might feel a little bit better playing that ultimately. Okay, next up is – oh, and again, Logan Thomas is still out, so Ricky Seals-Jones there. I mean, Heineke's in. Gibson should play. McLaurin. I think everyone's pretty much in their normal range there. Maybe Gibson down a little bit because it's a tougher matchup against running backs with Denver there. But I think they're probably – I think everyone's relatively in their same range of your lineup decisions. Tampa – road favorite against the Saints, 49.5. The Saints basically just say, all right, we're going to take the air out of the ball. We're just going to play really slow, and we're not going to throw it. It's really interesting to see there. So Tampa has done a really good job of not getting beat on the ground this year. However, I'm really fascinated by the fact that no one has tried until last week when Khalil Herbert got 100 yards on him. Again, it was maybe that wasn't necessarily the best game plan because they got beat pretty healthily, or pretty handily, I guess. But it is interesting that they were able to get something on the ground against them. It has basically become a fait accompli that Tampa's got a really good run defense. No one runs against them. So we'll watch there, and you know, if the Saints can, the Saints are getting healthy at the right time too. They've shown the propensity to want to run the ball at a high rate. So I'm really interested to see how that game looks, because I think it could potentially shape how we view Tampa's defense going forward in future matchups. So really, really intrigued by that matchup, and maybe we get some more passing volume from Jameis Winston. Dallas at Minnesota. This is a Sunday night game. I don't feel great about this one. There's a huge line movement in favor of Minnesota. I think that is almost entirely related to Dak Prescott. So we're going to have to watch there and see what his situation is with with the calf there, dealing with the calf injury. And this is one where Cooper Rush, again, Cooper Rush feels more, I think I feel better about Cooper Rush than like Mike White, for example. There's a lower upside for Cooper Rush ultimately, but I would feel better about him than like Mike. So I'd cut Mike White for him. PJ Walker offers like a different sort of range of outcomes, I would think. It almost feels like you would cut PJ Walker for Cooper Rush if you needed to start Cooper Rush. Like, that's kind of what it feels like. I don't think this is going to be like a long-term trial for Cooper Rush or anything like that. Maybe you see spot starts. Again, the calf, I'm sort of half in, half out, because the calf is an injury that you could that can linger. Is something that we've seen in prior circumstances. You listen to Dr. Gene talk, Dr. Child talk. They all mentioned that with the calf injury. So I'm sort of half in, half out on the idea that you could get like multiple starts from Cooper Rush. I'm leaning no on that because he's playing. Again, I'm not the injury expert. I'm not the doctor. That's just sort of the way I'm thinking through this process, just from a fantasy lens. And, you know, so that's sort of where I lean, is that, you know, maybe it's a weak spot start. And then, you know, if Dak comes back again, then you're going to hold him, right? I think it comes down to, do you have the space to, if you're making this decision now to sort of, this decision between him and some of the other guys really is like, what's your play? Sort of, are you going to play Cooper Rush this week if Dak doesn't play? If the answer is yes, then I think you're probably leaning heavily towards Cooper Rush over your other roster decisions. If it's a no, it really then becomes like, all right, well, what do you have the stomach to hold this spot for a while? And in the sense of like, all right, then if Dak comes back next week and maybe it re-aggravates or something like that, and then, all right, and then it's another week. So already now we're looking at week 10 to get viability, right? So you have to sort of make that determination sort of in advance, I think, to sort of think about that process in terms of like how you're structuring those specific situations would sort of be my thought. I have spent an extreme amount of time talking about Cooper Rush, so I'll move on. But again, I do think it's worth some consideration, and I will end the longest Cooper Rush segment in the history of Dynasty Fantasy Football. Okay, by the way, I was doing some stats and looking into some things, and I was pretty impressed, and I was actually tipped off by this by our friend Scott Connor, who over at the Dynasty and Chill platform. Again, he of course was on the trade show this past week, or this week, yeah, on Thursday of this week. So go ahead and check that out. That was fun. But he did mention about Kirk Cousins. So I did some looking and seeing here about, like, you know, some of the pace and some of the play stuff. It was interesting, and you get to this point and some of the stuff can be a little bit more relevant. And again, I think I'm going to, my snap reaction, I think it's going to focus a little bit more on like the offensive construction this week, in terms of that. Like, we did some value stuff last week, so we'll do some construct in terms of like offense and that sort of stuff going forward. How teams are looking, you know, what we're sort of seeing in difference and all that stuff. But Minnesota ranks up, ranks ninth in terms of dropbacks per game, which I think is interesting. And then when you sort of put it on, like, put that in the context of who they're there with. And again, I have been a little bit tepid on playing him against like Rodgers and some other spots, but KC, Tampa, Miami, notably third, the Chargers fourth, Atlanta fifth. sixth for Detroit, seventh for Buffalo, eighth for the Giants, ninth for Minnesota. That's dropbacks per game. All up north of 42. Kansas City dropped back 48 times per game. Just a huge, huge split, too, in terms of design passes versus design runs. I mean, they're at two-thirds of their plays are design passes. Some of that's game script. Some of that's getting a little pass happy. I like pass happy, but they take it to a whole different strata. Even the Bills, for example, like they're at 57% pass design pass rate, which isn't, we think of them as being higher than that, but again, I think a lot of that's been game script. So I think in a more natural setting, those teams might look a lot closer in terms of their rates. And the Bills are just running; they're running a ton of plays at 66 a game. But yeah, so Minnesota they run 68 plays per game. So it's actually they're up there in terms of the top of the position, in terms of the top of the league in terms of plays actually run per game. And then you look and they run a healthy amount of passes per game, drop back passes per game, and all of a sudden, like it actually looks pretty good from an offensive perspective. Just compare this, by the way. I didn't have the PFF data at the time of recording, but I have this decision and this determination in one league. Minnesota drops back to pass 42.7 times per game. Green Bay 36.1. So again, that is a not a small difference, right? That is a 16% or so upgrade in terms of the amount of dropbacks per game. And then you have to sort of go to the concept again. It's a little far afield from what I'm about to talk about here, but you do have to go and think about, all right, how much are each one of those worth from a quarterback? And all of a sudden, like Kirk Cousins looks really good, right? So those are some of the things that I think are interesting. And you do see kind of a drop off in like the right around 20 or so after that. It's a pretty steep drop off in terms of the amount of passing attempts, passing dropbacks per game. So I do think that's interesting. You look to, again, the context of which that came out, 28th for Seattle at 34 per game. Pretty low there. That was the actual context of which we were talking about those two teams. So I am interested. You know, I think Cousins is shaping up as kind of that like low end quarterback one, and it's pretty interesting. And then you look at, you know, Dallas, they give up fourth most points per game to quarterbacks, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, like this could be a really interesting game there. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Minnesota. Again, I like Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is a pivot. I'm gonna explore this. Like Stafford for Cousins plus. I'm actually going to explore it over the weekend and some other things like that. You know, pivot to Cousins, you know, and maybe that's a pivot down, a pivot within sort of a similar tier or something like that. I just think Cousins is constantly disrespected, but he's getting a pretty good amount of flow, a pretty good amount of game flow and run in the offense. One other thing I would say is never underestimate the change in offensive coordinator, even though it is a father-son transition. It can very much change, and the generational things change, and we've sort of have seen some of that. So I think that's a really interesting thing there for Minnesota. All right, and then we will finish up here with the Monday night game. The Kansas City Chiefs are playing at home. They are playing the New York Giants. 21 implied team total for the Giants. Again, this isn't a betting podcast, but if I were able to bet New York, like, give me some of that. And then Kansas City, 31 implied team total, second highest of the week. And it is it's the highest game total of the week, tied right there with the Minnesota-Dallas game. So two maybe higher profile, higher scoring primetime games to end the week. I think Mahomes is going to get right here. I think Kansas City is going to get right. I think there's a lot of Chicken Little stuff going on, and I'm not super concerned about it. Again, I'm starting Darrell Williams, getting after that as a big-time home favorite. I think he's probably in the firm running back two, if not pushing up towards running back one type status based on that big line and how everything's going to work out. You know, you got games like you're without some guys too. You're without Barkley or without McCaffrey still. So you have some of those situations. I think it probably puts Darrell Williams right there in the firm running back two, if not a little bit higher type range of your running back decisions. I'd be hard pressed to bench him, especially where I can flex running backs this week. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition. Again, be conscious and paying attention to your plus plus, your minus minus, your plus minus, and your minus plus teams, right, in terms of your rebuilding guide stuff. So you can go ahead and you know, think in that, in terms of that process. And yeah, so go ahead and think about the context of your teams. And this is the time to try and make transitions if you're going to be, you know, selling or buying and that sort of stuff now. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.